Hello, and welcome to the Eastern Arc podcast series. My name is Phil Ward, and I'm director of Eastern Arc. These podcasts are a chance to talk to experts from across the Eastern Arc universities of East Anglia, Essex and Kent, and give us a chance to explore current events and issues through the filter of our researchers' work and underlying knowledge. Today, we're going to look at the current presidential election campaign in the United States. Elections are, by their very nature, divisive and confrontational, but this election, due to take place on the 3rd of November, is shaping up to be one of the toughest, angriest and most hard-fought of recent years. We're going to dedicate the next three podcasts to issues around the election campaign. First of all, we're going to look at underlying issues which are going to inform it, including coronavirus and the civil unrest, as well as some more surprising concerns that voters have. The second is going to take a step back and look at the history that shaped the current system, including the Electoral College and issues of faith and the emergence of the evangelical right. And the final one is going to talk in more detail about the possible strategies that both the Democrats and the Republicans are going to use in the campaign. In order to discuss these issues, I've brought together three colleagues from UEA, Essex and Kent. Not all of them are going to be involved in all three of the podcasts, and each of them is going to talk about issues from their perspective and with relevance to their particular research. Emma Long is a senior lecturer in American Studies in the School of Art, Media and American Studies at UEA. Emma's research focuses on the history of the US Constitution and the Supreme Court. She also has an interest in the interaction of religion and politics in American history, particularly issues related to the idea of the separation of church and state that emerged from the First Amendment. Royce Carroll is a professor in the School of Government at the University of Essex. His research focuses on democratic institutions and the role of representation in the policy-making process in the United States, particularly in the areas of legislative politics, political parties, and quantitative methodology in the measurement of ideology. Rubric Began is a lecturer in international relations in the School of Politics and International Relations at the University of Kent. His research interests are concentrated in the areas of US foreign policy, inter-American relations, and international political economy. In this first episode, we're going to hear from Rubric and Emma. I started by asking Rubric about the role of the pandemic and, in particular, Trump's response to it, and what part that would play in the campaign.
He's polling very bad on his response. Right? So I think it's sort of, you know, nearly two-thirds of the country sort of gives him low marks or disapproves of his handling of the pandemic. And what's been interesting is that voters have disaggregated public health aspects of it and the social aspects of the pandemic with the economic aspect. So Trump does relatively well in the economy. It's sort of split. You know, about half of the electorate approves of Trump's handling of the economy and half disapprove, which is much better for him than his numbers on the pandemic or on something like race relations. So if you were able to kind of shift the kind of discussion back on to economic issues, I think that would be probably a better strategy for him. They tried to do some of this with the convention. You saw a number of speakers during the Republican convention explicitly say, well, before the pandemic struck, before coronavirus hit, the economy was doing well. But that's not going to be enough to sort of cause people to forget about the kind of social realities of the pandemic, a lot of the schools being closed and ongoing social distancing. It's really impacted people's lives day to day. So, I mean, there's no question. I think that, you know, it's very unlikely that that changes before November. I mean, the one thing that might be a game changer would be the announcement of a vaccine. But even if the economy improves considerably in terms of jobs added or GDP growth in the next quarter, I think that people are still going to remember the coronavirus. It will be a COVID election.
But then isn't there the potential that Trump will play it so that he frames COVID as something that is to be blamed and that he did his utmost to deal with it and it's not his problem. It's essentially something that was beyond him and he needs to be the one to tackle it. And this is often the way when a country is being challenged from external forces that there's almost a reentrenchment of the leader in that. Is there the potential that that would happen?
I think that could have happened. So, you know, when the pandemic first hit in March, there was a kind of response. So Trump had downplayed coronavirus in kind of January, February time. He sort of claimed it was a hoax, or there was a video of him kind of suggesting it was a hoax. And by March, it was becoming more of a serious issue, and there was a kind of response. There was a stimulus package, right, that was passed through Congress that Trump signed. And Trump did see an improvement in his approval ratings at that time. I think, you know, the gap between approval and disapproval closed to 5 or 6 percentage points. It's sort of one of the best moments in terms of his approval rating over his first term in office. But there just hasn't been much since then. The pandemic has worsened, and discussion over, you know, additional economic stimulus hasn't panned out. And just Trump's kind of idiosyncratic leadership style has really hurt him on this, because he hasn't been able to stay on message. And they've kind of swung between different frames about, you know, this is China's fault, or actually the pandemic isn't as bad as it seems, or it'll get better very soon, or done all we can. I mean, there's been a number of different messages. But I think if Trump does lose the election, people kind of look back and say that it was COVID that cost him the election more than anything the Democrats were doing, which might be true. But at the same time, there was a political opportunity for Trump, had he done reasonably well in sort of looking like he was taking the threat seriously, that, you know, he would have gotten a kind of improvement in his approval rating that would have allowed him to really be on safe territory in terms of winning another term. So it wasn't inevitable.
That's a very striking term, a COVID election. And certainly the coronavirus is going to play a major part in people's decision-making on the 3rd of November. But what are the other issues that voters care about in the forthcoming election? I asked Emma about a recent poll by the Pew Research Centre. What were the top issues that voters cared about?
The top three were the economy, healthcare, both hardly surprising in the middle of an international pandemic, especially given how hard the American economy has been hit, and Supreme Court appointments were the third. And interestingly, I was looking at the breakdown of those, and on the economy and healthcare, there's quite a big divergence between where Republicans and Democrats vote that in terms of importance. But actually on Supreme Court appointments, 61% of Republicans and 66% of Democrats said that it was an important issue to them. So that's one of the closest in terms of party differences, and quite high for Democrats as well. So in the past, well, 2016, but also before, we've talked about how the court was a target for Republicans, conservatives looking to undo the history of liberal decisions. This poll will be only one, so maybe we shouldn't read too much into it, but it suggests that Democrats may also be beginning to think, well, actually, they're doing it, so we need to fight back. They said, given the situation with COVID-19 and the economic issues facing the US and everything else, it may be that this election, it doesn't come to the surface, but I'd be surprised if it doesn't at some other point.
I'm amazed by that poll suggesting the Supreme Court appointments are the third most important thing to people. And maybe it's changed since then with law and order, which is obviously, I would have thought, rising to the top. Whereas Supreme Court appointments seems a little bit esoteric in terms of what the average voter on the street would care about. So that's a surprise.
I mean, Supreme Court appointments, you're right, it does seem like such an odd topic compared to the specificity of some of the others. But of course it ties into that sense that the Supreme Court deals with some of these really important issues like religious freedom, freedom of speech, abortion, gun rights. So I think it's probably in that context that people are responding to it rather than the actual people themselves. I was just looking at the breakdown of the poll, and violent crime, which I think is sort of the closest that you might get to law and order, was fifth on the list. So the top five were the economy, healthcare, Supreme Court, coronavirus, violent crime, race and ethnic inequality, which is another element, which of course, given the recent protests and the administration's response to those, comes down in eighth on a list of 12. So it is there, just slightly lower, at least in this particular poll. COVID-19 and the handling of that, and the fallout from that, that, you know, different countries are dealing with in different ways, seems to have been like the big spanner in the works. And it's sort of the big unknown as to how much of an impact it's going to have in terms of the election. I mean, my sense back in February, before this became such a big issue, was that whoever at that point the Democratic nominee was going to be was actually going to have a pretty hard time, because, like you say, the economy was doing well, whether as a result of Trump's actions or the kind of the legacy of the Obama years doesn't really matter in terms of practical elements, because generally I think those who study voting behavior would say when the economy is doing well, usually incumbents tend to benefit as a result of that. So the economy was doing well. There were no major flashpoints that had come up, particularly in the way that, say, the Black Lives Matter movement has sort of experienced in many ways a resurgence in terms of popular consciousness in the aftermath of the murder of George Floyd. The protests, both peaceful and not, the administration's response with that rhetoric of law and order, trying to turn it to their advantage, right, to turn it away from a discussion of race and ethnic inequality to we're taking a stance against these, you know, these violent offenders type rhetoric, which has echoes of Nixon in the 70s. So they raise real questions because of how the administration has or hasn't handled it. It's easy to talk about this issue or that issue and where people are on this, but ultimately most people don't vote on a single issue. They vote on a range of them, and it may be that it's one of those issues is going to emerge as more important the closer that we get to the election. I think at this point it's a difficult one to call, but I think because there are so many unknown factors, things are changing so fast that it could just be one issue that will take the campaign in a completely different direction.
And that's certainly been the case in previous campaigns when October surprises come up on the horizon to derail someone's election chances. Next time, we're going to take a step back and look at the history of the American electoral system, particularly the Electoral College and the swing states that are partly a product of that, but also look at faith and belief and how important those two have become in American elections. In the meantime, thanks to my three guests, Emma Long of UEA, Royce Carroll of Essex, and Rubric Began of Kent. And to all of those who helped put together this podcast, including Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet Music. And to you for tuning in and listening to this, the latest of the Easternaut podcasts.